The healthcare detective Frank Lally has written a book for Simon & Schuster about how to get affordable healthcare. Called Your Best Healthcare Now, it is available online, in-store, wherever fine books are sold. Mr. Lally is also the health correspondent for Parade and the former editor of Money and George magazines. He is also a senior advisor to healthcare.com, and as I never tire of saying, he detects for us pretty much all the time. Hi, Frank. How are you?
Yes. I detect for you all the time. And I'm happy to talk to you on this very sunny, wonderful day. Well, look, I'm sorry, Joe, but this week I've got some not great news. Governor Lamont is stubbornly sticking to reopening Connecticut's businesses to 100% capacity despite the surge in coronavirus cases. This week, Connecticut's cases per capita is the fourth highest in the entire country. That's behind only New York, New Jersey, and Michigan. Plus, Connecticut now has roughly 500 hospitalizations. That's up about 20% in 10 days. And Lamont has long said hospitalizations is his quote-unquote key metric. But now he seems to be ignoring that measure while still claiming he's watching the rising cases, quote-unquote, like a hawk. Well, he can't have it both ways. His hawk eye is a purposeful blind eye. Instead, he says he's focusing on Connecticut's death rate. And by that narrow measure, Connecticut ranks 35th in the United States. But experts say Connecticut's deaths are sure to rise as cases and hospitalizations soar. In fact, in a marked uptick, 14 people just died in one day. Is that the beginning of a trend, an alarming trend? Deaths have been down generally because younger, healthier people are catching the virus as opposed to older people who get sick and die. Okay, but the younger people aren't vaccinated, so they can catch the virus and they don't necessarily get severely sick, certainly not as much as older people. But to date, look, only about 20% of Connecticut residents ages 35 to 44 have gotten their first vaccine shot. They're not protected. And a mere 7% of those under 35. Okay, so Connecticut has begun vaccinating everyone over 16 years of age. 16 and plus, you can get your vaccine now, and that's good. But it's going to take us at least a month to get most of those 1 million people, 16 and over, who aren't vaccinated, to get them vaccinated and get us all protected. Meanwhile, young people, especially college kids, returning from spring break in places like, you know, hotspot Miami Beach, are coming home and they're partying. I mean, they're partying. They're not social distancing. They're not wearing their masks. I see them on the street now more than I did before. And surely they are spreading the new highly contagious variants throughout the state. That accounts for the surge. Those variants, the B117 from the UK and the B156 from New York, are running wild. They now account for 2/3 of Connecticut's cases. As a result, the Department of Public Health says 90% of Connecticut residents now live in red alert communities with test positivity rates of over 15%. And get this, that's worse than during the first wave a year ago. The surge is truly alarming in some communities. For example, Derby, Waterbury, and Watertown all have positivity rates of over 40%. 40%. Still, Governor Lamont ignores the mounting calls to roll back his reopening until at least May. Let's give us 4 weeks here to be protected and let the vaccination efforts catch up and get us closer to herd immunity. That's what people are calling for. Now, many of the informed experts calling for such a rollback point to Europe, where the surges, you're seeing the lockdowns. France just locked down again for the third time. That's following the premature openings in Europe. And up to now, whatever happens in Europe hits us about 3 or 4 weeks later. That means we could be locked down again in June. So why risk another lockdown like that with an aggressive reopening? Why not hit the brakes? In addition to the CDC, that's Center for Disease Control, the informed experts calling for a rollback include Representative Ann Yu. She's a fellow Democrat like Lamont. She's from Easton, and she's also a nursing home professional. Now, she told me, quote unquote, why reopen when the whole state is a red zone? And why send a signal that it's okay to relax? I don't get it. The governor should roll back the reopening immediately. Now, I'd add this. People know Lamont is a pro-business Democratic governor. Okay, that's fine. But he has a sworn higher duty beyond protecting business. Foremost, he should protect the public, that's you and me, from suffering and, God forbid, death. Unlike 19 largely Republican states with no mask mandate, Lamont still requires masks and social distancing in public places. That's fine. But for the life of me, and you for the matter of fact, I can't explain why Governor Lamont is stubbornly helping to spread this deadly virus in 100% capacity. Restaurants, he says that's fine. Stores at 100%, houses of worship, gyms, libraries. Plus he's saying, hey, you can have a private party now with 100 people outdoors. You go to a wedding hall or an anniversary at some commercial hall with 200 people outdoors. Not to mention 10,000 screaming fans in stadiums yelling at each other and 10% capacity in enclosed arenas. So, Jill, why do you think Lamont is plowing ahead with his reopening beyond seeking favor from the business community? I get that, campaign contributions, that kind of thing. What else do you think is going on here?
I think it's the same reason that Gavin Newsom was comfortable dining at the French Laundry with a bunch of healthcare professionals. I believe it was the healthcare lobby, without masks inside. I think that there is an awareness on a certain level that the way that it spreads or whatever is happening is not as concerning as it has made out to be. And I think that there is also an understanding that most people are going about their lives anyway at this juncture, that the highest risk people are vaccinated. And, you know, I'm not even I don't know whether or not we should touch upon the fact that there are vaccinated people now testing positive. And who knows? That could very well be once you have Lyme disease, you know, you test positive you test positive for the rest of your life, and you have to have a different kind of test to sort out whether you are really positive. But, you know, there is all sorts of stuff going on, and I think that at this point, my guess is that he's concluded that, you know, people are going to do what they're going to do anyway.
I'm worried. I don't like the numbers. They're moving in the wrong direction. I don't like his stubbornness. All right, let's move on to the other topic of the week, and that's school kids and the virus. And this is on the bright side, thankfully. Pfizer just announced that it has a vaccine that's 100% effective for kids aged 12 to 15 years of age. And of the 2,000 kids in its trial, 18 of the kids actually caught the virus, but they all were the ones who were getting the placebo. Not one of the kids getting the vaccine actually got the virus. So it's 100% effective. And that's greatly raises the odds that children nationwide will be able to go back to school in the fall safely. Everyone back into the classroom. Plus, Moderna is testing a vaccine on babies as young as 6 months old. And we need a breakthrough like that, a vaccine like that, as soon as possible. That's because Yale New Haven Children's Hospital, as among many other children's hospitals, is reporting a troubling spike in cases of young people. And by the way, there's a 25% increase in the virus among Connecticut students. Another part of this surge that I'm seeing, Jill. So that's another race against the virus that affects many families. Our family is gathering, by the way, this weekend at our home here in Lakeville. And this is for the first time since we quarantined together here in the summer. Now, half of us are vaccinated. That includes my 17-year-old grandson. But there's no vaccine for our 11-year-old grandson and for our gorgeous redhead 2-year-old Gigi. She is so cute. Oh, my God. But they both test negative, so we can all get together safely. So as a nation, to reach community immunity, herd immunity, right? To use universal immunity. We need our children vaccinated. They represent 20% of the population. So, Jill, what do you make of this race to get kids, even infants, fully vaccinated? Where do you stand on that?
I think that everyone should consult their pediatricians.
Okay. I think they should, too, and they'll probably be urged to get the shots. That gets us to this controversial topic of mandatory vaccinations to attend public schools here in Connecticut, including exemptions for religious beliefs. Now, today, Connecticut parents can refuse to vaccinate their kids against measles, mumps, whooping cough, more, and the public schools must allow those children to come into the classroom and learn. Around 8,300 unvaccinated, maybe under-vaccinated kids are enrolled in Connecticut public schools right now. That's up 10% in the past 2 years. That raises the risk of outbreaks of measles, mumps, whooping cough in the public schools. The Democratic-controlled House and Senate appears poised to pass a bill that strikes down the religious exemption for at least all new students. But it would allow Connecticut's medical exemption to stand. So the medical exemption stands, but the religious exemption would be stricken. Parents who oppose stripping away the religious exemption denounced the bill as a violation of their religious freedom that would force them to upend their lives to homeschool their kids. So it infringes on my freedom and it upends my life. Parents who support the bill say religious freedom does not extend to jeopardizing the health of others, especially children. The debate is fierce, is very divisive. The Republican lawmakers unanimously are opposed to it. The Democrats are unanimously in favor, and the Democrats have a lot more votes. The question is whether Governor Lamont would sign such a bill into law. There seems to be no guarantee of that. I'm not sure how I would bet. No guarantee, but this is a Democratic-controlled legislature, and you've got a Democratic governor. So, Jill, what do you think of stripping away the religious exemption in Connecticut public schools? Should Lamont sign such a bill, or should he veto it?
I think my views are fairly well known. So I haven't run for office, and I don't think it's a political thing. I think people should have their own options to do what they want, and if the exemption supports it, then it should stay.
So you believe people have religious freedom to make that decision for their kids, they should not be overruled by the state.
And I also believe that, unless it can be shown that it could fall under the medical exemption, if they have the same freedom to make that decision for themselves under the medical exemption, I have no problem.
But the medical exemption involves a doctor endorsing that, saying that is justified a medical exemption. A religious exemption, you're really going on the word of the parents that they have such beliefs and it's an infringement on their rights. So it stands.
I understand. And what I'm talking about is as an end user, as mm-hmm. long as the family is able to make the decision that they want to make about their children and their personal health, that is, in my view, however it's structured so that that happens as mm-hmm. an end result is what I am supporting. That's what I'm trying to be really clear about.
Sure. I got it. I worry about a measles outbreak or these other children diseases. There is herd immunity in the Connecticut public schools. When I looked at it closely in the summer, when there was a lot of conversation about this, virtually all the schools had 90, 95% of the kids were vaccinated. So the kids who weren't vaccinated were not a danger to the school. But there were exceptions. We found some schools with only 70% vaccination levels, which means a child could come in not vaccinated with the virus, spread it to other children, and get them sick, maybe in some cases very sick. I think as a parent, we vaccinated our kids. surely to protect them, but we also had a notion of protecting the community. And I worry that individual rights are being stretched to a point where there isn't a common good. I think it's being eroded, certainly in the last few years, it's been eroded severely. So I stand with the parents who say, get vaccinated, everyone get vaccinated, and let's protect as many people as possible, especially the children. So be it, Jill. We don't agree on 100% of the things, but it's always fun to talk to you.
That's right, and you lived in California. Thank you, Frank, the healthcare detective and senior advisor to healthcare.com. Send your questions or concerns about finding affordable healthcare to healthcaredetective@robinhoodradio.com. Frank will try to address as many of your questions as he can on future broadcasts. Also, look for his book, Your Best Healthcare Now, available online, in store, and on my desk.